Hey, good evening, everybody. Mike Malloy here. Thanks for tuning in. Well, just a few minutes ago, the Senate Democrats say they have a tentative deal to drop government-run insurance option from health care legislation. Yeah, hooray. This is what you get when you have a Congress that is bought and paid for by, in this case, the pharmaceutical industrial industry, or the medical industrial complex. Call it whatever you want. But the Democratic senators, you see, these useless sons of bitches in the Senate are high-fiving each other. Like, hey, goddamn right, we got rid of that public option. Hey, boys, they say to the lobbyists standing around in the courtroom, hey, we did it. We got rid of that miserable bastard. It doesn't make any difference what the American public wants. It's unbelievable. Well, no, it's not. It's very believable. Now, in addition to that, talks are centering on opening up Medicare to uninsured Americans beginning at age 55. Woohoo! I hate these people. I hate the cowards. I hate the sneaks and the liars. And this is what we have. This is what the Republican Party is, nothing but a group of belly button contemplating Christers who want to see the world ended. The Democrats have become nothing more than a collection of bought and paid for whores. No offense to sex workers. That's exactly what they are. Scum. You sons of bitches. The whole country wants a public option. Oh, okay. Not the whole country. So after all of this stuff over the summer, everything that we put up with, listening to these goddamn teabaggers, and all this craziness, all this insanity, I bet you Glenn Beck right now and Limbaugh and Hannity and the rest of these pigs are just home rolling around on the living room floor. Hey, we did it. By God, we did it. Yes, they did. They did. They absolutely did. The scum on right-wing talk radio and television, the scum in the Democratic Party in the Senate, and these monstrous corporatists in the healthcare industry, they did it. The American public gets screwed again. Senator Tom Harkin, the only quote I have is from Senator Tom Harkin of Iowa. He told reporters he didn't like the agreement, but he would support it in an attempt to pass health care legislation. Oh, for Christ's sake. This is not health care legislation. In the first place, it's health insurance legislation. So what does this mean with no public option? You know, these big insurance companies are just, I mean, pick your metaphor. They're licking their lips. They're rubbing their hands. They're squeezing their wallets. They're high-fiving each other. They're sending telegrams of congratulation, not telegrams. They're sending tweets of congratulation to all these sick bastards in right-wing radio and television, because all of a sudden they know what they've got. Hot damn! 45 million uninsured Americans will now have to buy insurance from the very people who brought on this disaster. The AP is saying moderates cheered. Moderate Democrats cheered a move away from the so-called public option, and liberals demanded an expansion of the Medicare program in exchange. Liberals? Liberals demanded an expansion of the Medicare program in exchange for deep-sixing the public option? The public plan is still in the bill, but supporters acknowledge tonight that it may not have the votes to pass. Jay Rockefeller said, quote, my worry is the public option is disappearing. Really, Jay? Oh, well. You knew this was going to happen, didn't you? Of course you did. And so did I. So, screw it. What other issues are we going to play pretend on? Huh? What other issues? Afghanistan? jobs programs, regulating the financial services industry again, you know, reinstating Glass-Steagall. Okay, well, we have in place now the dream that Benito Mussolini had starting around 1920, 21, 22, when he wanted to institute on these poor, miserable Italians. I can say that because I'm Italian. These poor, miserable Italians, a dictatorship that would be corporatist in structure, and of course under Benito's firm and loving control. Well, we don't have a Benito. No, Obama is not Mussolini. But what we do have is the best that Mussolini's addled, pasta-riddled brain could come up with. We have it. Corporatism. He so famously or infamously instructed his people, don't call it fascism. Call it what it is, corporatism. He didn't talk like that. I'm just jiving around here. I don't know what I expected. What did you expect? Huh? What did you expect, Truth Seeker? We're going to open up the lines right away on this one because, I would, before we move on, 877-996-2556. I want to focus on this. Tell me what you think, okay? We're just going to do this and then go back to what I had already planned for this evening. But I would like to get your opinion on this. 877-996-2556. Are you surprised that Senate Democrats have collapsed? They obeyed their corporate masters right down to the level of kicking the public option out on its ass. Medicare to uninsured Americans beginning at age 55. That's supposed to be the substitution for a public option? You're kidding me. Oh, my God. All right, let's take a few calls here and see what we've got. Oh, and by the way, that doesn't make any sense to say if you're listening on the internet, you're probably not hearing anything, because if you're listening on the internet, you're probably not hearing anything. Sam is in Los Angeles listening on KTLK. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Big Mike. How are you doing? Long time. Just wanted to ask you a quick question. I asked Kathy the same thing.
Yeah.
Since the public option is still in the House bill, doesn't that kind of give it a heartbeat still?
I guess so. But when somebody's on life support and, you know, they're 96 years old, they're lying in an intensive care unit, they still have a heartbeat, but essentially they're brain dead. It's still got a heartbeat, but,
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. About 100 progressive members in the House said they will not vote to pass any bill whatsoever, the final bill, if it doesn't have a public option. So doesn't this kind of force Obama to take the reconciliation, not the reconciliation, what's the word I'm looking for, where he can jam it through with only 51 votes?
I don't know, but he's not going to do that.
I mean, basically, but hold on a second. He doesn't have a bill, though. If the progressives in the House basically tell all of them to go pound sand, and he's going to have to man up on this one, I think.
Well, I'd like to see him do that, but Sam, it's just not going to happen. Barack Obama is not a progressive. He's not pushing the issue. He's not doing anything. He is a corporate figurehead, an attractive one. But, I mean, he just is. Yeah, I got to leave there. Sam, thanks, man. Appreciate what you had to say. We'll come back after the break and take some more calls on this, all right? We're talking about the news that AP is reporting. Senate Democrats have said no, hell no, on the public option for health insurance.
Yes. Screaming with Mike Malloy.
Yeah, 21 past the hour. The internet stream is working now. Sometimes we have that problem. Let me suggest something for folks who listen on the internet. When you can't get the internet feed for whatever reason, go to MikeMalloy.com. Click on the Listen Live button up there at the top, and there's five different stations that you can go to, and we've got the links all set up for you to get a radio station feed instead of waiting for our crappy equipment to kick in. We're back on the net now, but you know how it goes. Oh, God, if you've listened to this program for a long time, you know how it goes here. Yes, indeed. All right. About a half an hour ago, 45 minutes ago, it crossed from the AP wire that the Senate Democrats have decided to murder, kill, and obliterate the public option in response to pressure from their masters, which are not the American people, certainly not, but the healthcare industry, the health insurance industry. And because of that pressure, because, as Molly Ivan so famously said, you got to dance with those that brung you, and the ones that brung these bastards are corporate America, there will be no public health care option available. Some of the liberal Democrats have decided, no, we can't let it all go. So here's what we'll do. You can sign for Medicare when you're 55. So that's what we're talking about. I just want to get your opinion on this very quickly here as the program is just starting. Paula's in Bayonne, New Jersey. Hi, Paula.
Hi, Mike. You know, Democrats caving is one of the few things in this world that can be counted on.
Isn't that the truth?
I mean, they went in from a position of weakness. Why did they, write a bill up that sounded like it was written by Trotsky himself? And put a whole bunch of stuff in there, like a $500 bonus for every American over the age of 18 who gets an annual checkup.
Yeah.
And all kinds of crap like that. And then get rid of that and get, something decent.
Paula, I don't know. I have so given up on the Democratic Party. I've said before, in my heart of hearts, I guess I'll always be a Democrat. You know, you are what you are. But I have so given up on the Democratic Party. I just can't do it anymore. I can't do it. Like you say, that's one thing you can count on, set your watch by, note it on the calendar, how often Democrats cave. They're just no good as a political party. Absolutely no good.
Bush got every piece of crap he wanted passed.
Sure.
Well, not nearly the majority.
Right.
And many of the same Democrats, so-called Democrats, who put the kibosh on this, went along with Bush's stuff.
I know.
There are no consequences for him. Why is Lieberman still, Lieberman?
Yeah, I know. And Lieberman's just one. Why is Max Baucus still? Why is this freak who put in the no money for you for abortion
Stupak
and the other one, there's another one who look, if it's against their religion or against their moral principles for abortion, okay, talk about that all day long. I have town hall meetings, convince other people that that's a good idea, but there are a lot of people in this country who don't necessarily agree with that and may be in a position where they desperately need to have that procedure and would like to have it covered on their insurance. But I don't know, Paula. It's just bizarre.
And the whole thing, they're always saying, well, the pre-existing conditions, that's their big excuse for caving.
Well, yeah, but...
pre-existing conditions, that's what they're patting them. They could have done that in separate legislation.
Sure.
They could have done that from the get-go. Just make it illegal to deny people coverage.
Yeah, they could have.
Pre-existing conditions. They could have taken care of that and then dealt with.
I wonder why they didn't. I guess it has to do with who owns them.
Exactly.
All right. Well, Paula, keep smiling.
Thanks, Mike. You have a good night.
All right. Thank you. Take care. This could have been so simple, you know? This was the issue. You know, I really did. I had some hope when this legislative session began the first of the year with a new president, Democratic House, Democratic Senate. Like, okay, finally, you know, my boys are back and my girls are back. Maybe they can do something. Maybe they will do something. Oh, My goodness. Okay. That's fine. The Democratic Party is dead. The Democratic Party I knew, and probably the one you knew, it really is dead. And it's so irritating to see it die. All these right-wing radio and television talkers are going to be like roosters now. The rooster that thinks because it crows in the morning, that makes the sun come up. You know, these right-wing radio and TV bastards are going to think, ha-ha, we did it! When they didn't do a damn thing. The ones who did it was the health insurance industry lobbyists and Democrats who don't deserve the title of Democrat. We'll be right back. We'll take some more of your calls here on this particular issue. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Words I'm hearing are starting to get old. Feels like I'm starting all over again. The last 3 years were just pretend.
Seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour, we are taking some calls right now over the news that the AP has been reporting for the past hour and a half that the public option is dead. Although I understand that Reuters is reporting that Harry Reid says, no, it's not. No, it isn't. But I don't believe Harry Reid any more than I would believe Rush Limbaugh. Not at this point. Vernon is in Indianapolis. Hey, Vernon.
Hello, Mr. Malloy.
Hi. Call me Mike.
Hi, Mike. I want to first tell you that how much I really enjoy your show.
Well, thank you.
Listening to you is like getting the chance to say the things that I want to say in public.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
But what I really want to say now is that the president has to realize, you see how his popularity is dropping?
Uh-huh.
He has to realize that the people of America voted against Bush. So how all of a sudden we are being served up with the same old soup warmed up again?
Mm-hmm.
People are fed up with that foolishness. And it's sad to say we are in so much trouble. I mean, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do, but we are in a whole lot of trouble, man.
What should we do, all of us who supported Barack Obama and had hopes that, he never said that he was anything other than what he is, but some of us had a lot of hope that it would be different. What do you suggest we do now? Continue to support him? Turn our backs on the Democratic Party? What? What do you think?
We have got to discontinue our support. Not that we will go the route of the Republicans, because they are utter disgrace.
Right.
But we have got to let the White House know that we are dissatisfied in no uncertain terms. We have got to get that point across.
Well, I'm trying to think the way to do that. Vernon, thank you, sir. I appreciate you checking in. Thank you. I honestly believe this is true for me, not for anybody else. You know, we all come to our own conclusions. But as far as my allegiance or alliance with the Democratic Party, it's over. I've been toying with that idea for, I don't know, a decade or more, ever since I started to realize, come out of the ether, about Bill Clinton. But it's over for me. You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me three times, shame on me. Fool me four times, shame on me. Fool me five times, lock my ass up! Well, I don't want to be locked up. So, that's it for me. I'm not saying that I would never vote for a person who is running on the Democratic Party ticket if I think his or her program is, or objectives are legitimately progressive or legitimately democratic socialist, although I can't think who would actually, what Democratic or Republican candidate would ever do that. I can't see it. But I'm, like I've got this email here. This is from Darren in North Carolina, who says in 2004, the bad news was we kept Bush, but gained some Democrats. They told us we needed even more Democrats. So in 2006, we gained a bunch more. In 2008, they told us we need Obama and more Democrats and 60 Democratic votes in the Senate. So we gave them that. I'm tired of this crap, sick and tired of being a sucker. If we had 100 Democrats, we would expand the Senate to allow for a token Republican vote. I'm done, hands washed, wallet closed, more free time in the fall. Darren in North Carolina. Hear you. Perez is in Santa Rosa, California. Hey, Perez.
Good evening, Mike. It's so nice to have you all on air live here.
Yeah,
really
Green,
wonderful.
Green 960,
really
yes. We love it.
Yeah. I'll try to keep my rant to a very tight area, okay?
Okay.
But first I want to say that I'm just tamping the fires of rage I ran into today. I take care of veterans, I'll just say that.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some poor guy today, man, I'm telling you. What we're going to experience pretty soon with these guys that they're hiding right now coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, they're not going to be able to hide them for long. We're going to have a nightmare in our hands.
Yeah, we are.
Bastards.
Yeah.
And this guy wasn't from that generation. But anyway, I'm having a little organic red here to try to calm myself down a little bit. Hey, you know, it's great stuff, man.
Oh, good for you.
Biodynamic, baby.
All right, Fred.
Anyway, I wanted to mention this is very near and dear to my heart, this healthcare thing. I mean, the VA is socialized medicine, just to make one example. Just like England, it works great. People love it. And expand. Here's my take on expanding okay. Medicare to 55. You know what that really is?
What is it?
That's taking the highest risk group of people and putting in an RTAB so the HMOs don't even have to insure those people. It's a bigger giveaway.
Oh, my God.
It's not a concession to us.
Yeah, that's right.
Look at it that way, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It's even worse. Here's what I think. The main thing is that you've said for years, Mike, and I'll try to calm down here a little bit if I can. I know this is a watchword on your show.
Yeah, Lake right. Placid. Yeah, everybody be calm.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, I think the main word is cowardice here.
Sure.
Sheer cowardice.
Well, it's also
Obama is a phony. I call him the smiling brown face of the new totalitarianism.
It's also being bought and paid for. You know, here's the thing, and you and I both know this. The only thing the president has in terms of legislation is what used to be called the bully pulpit, where he could lead by force of personality, mm-hmm. lead because he was a titular head of the Democratic or Republican Party.
Yes.
This guy isn't doing that. Barack Obama isn't. He's Mr. Get Along, Go Along. So that throws it into Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi. And they are two of the weakest, most miserable Democratic leaders that I've seen in my lifetime.
Oh, you mean Donna Reid?
Yeah, right. Well, her too.
Donna Reid.
Yeah.
That's what I call
Donna Reid.
And I would say this about Obama. You know, at least they're going to bitch and moan no matter what he does.
Right.
Why not say at least
well, sure.
say the right thing?
Well,
at
sure.
least just say it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. At least say it. Don't maybe even do it.
Right.
Oh, my God.
But that's not who Obama is. That's not who he is. Press, I got to leave there. Thanks,
okay,
pal.
Okay, thanks,
I
Mike.
Appreciate it. Yeah, Obama is not. Obama is a rhetorician. Is that a word? I love to listen to him speak. Oh, my God. The other night when he talked about Afghanistan, I was ready to go sign up. Well, okay, no. I love to listen to him speak. I love to watch the faraway look in his face. You know what he reminds me of, though, now that I'm really starting to come out of the ether, now that I'm really starting to end the conscious sedation that I've been under for the past 10 months? I don't know about you, But I have. I got blown away in Grant Park, watching the scene from Grant Park, and watching it like, oh my God, in my lifetime, I got blown away with the election of an African American president. Literally. An African American president. Well, let's be specific. A Kenyan American president. Yeah, blown away. And got, it's like when you have really serious work done on your teeth and they put you under conscious sedation, right? And you're conscious, they tell you later, but you don't remember anything because of that Versed that they put in there, you know? That really good stuff. Well, when you come out of it, it's like, hey, I've been out for 3 seconds. Oh, really? It's been 3 hours? My goodness. Well, that's how I'm starting to feel. I feel like kind of a dumbass. I really do, for going for it, for going for it. Barack Obama is a great speaker. But when he stands there with that faraway look in his eyes and he's giving out with the great rhetoric, I once again, I'm reminded of, not that he is this, he's as far from this as North is from South, but I'm reminded of those posters from the height of the Soviet era. Maybe you've seen them, you know, the posters with the people looking to the future. You know, the workers, muscular, you know, the men were muscular and handsome, and the women were, well, muscular and handsome too. It's hard to tell the difference, but there they were in their bib overhauls, one holding a hammer, the other holding a sickle, and looking off into the future. Hip, hip, hooray, on to the future. Well, we know what happened with that, right? You want to walk up to those commies now and just say, hey, how's that working for you, right? But Obama, when he talks, when he gives the speeches, you know, it's like being seduced again and again and again. You know, and I'm starting to feel like a used streetwalker. No offense to sex workers. It's awful. I've got to stop this. Or a junkie. I don't know, like I'm on heroin. One more needle. Just one more, then I'll stop. That's how it started to feel. So, no, Obama can't pass any legislation. But if Obama were a real progressive or a real liberal, he would have kicked some asses and taken some names and gotten the job done. And he hasn't. And he won't. Not ever.
Of truth, it's more Mike Malloy.
It's 10 before the hour. If you're on hold, stay there. In case I don't get to you before the break at the top of the hour, we will definitely take your call. Some interesting emails coming in here. excuse me, Diane writes in, Mike, from what I've learned, the Medicare for 55 plus option is another scam. It will only be for the same group that would have been eligible for the watered-down, weak, milquetoast public option. According to Rachel Maddow, it will cover at most 2 or 3 million people. So, no regulation of insurance rates, no public option, mandates to buy private insurance, no repeal of the antitrust exemption for insurance corporations. Doesn't matter if the red team or the blue team screws us. Screwed is still screwed. Words cannot describe how angry I am with the Democrats. John writes, here's a little candle in the wind here, I think, John. Mike, if they lower the Medicare age to 55, it would be a step toward accomplishing the same thing as the public option. It will just be more gradual. The risk pool will be huge. Pre-existing conditions will be a non-issue for profit insurance companies. Will be a non-issue. For-profit insurance companies will be happy for a short time because they will be getting the younger, healthier people. Of course, the next step would be to decrease the age to 45, then 35. And for the for-profit risk pool would be, and therefore the risk pool would be getting healthier and smaller. If they keep lowering the age, it will be single payer. Well, yeah, but that's predicated on trying this again. No, I see where you're going, John, but I just can't believe it. Z writes in, Mike, I'm not surprised the Democrats cave. They're all bought and paid for just like the Republicans. Quick story about health care. My hand recently went numb, so I went to the doctor to have it checked out. The doctors were pretty concerned, so they scheduled an MRI. I was seen within a week. Luckily, I only had a pinched nerve, so nothing serious. I called my dad, who's a right-wing wacko, to tell him what had happened. He said, good thing we don't have government-run health care. You would have been waiting for months to be seen. Mike, I'm active duty Navy and love my government-run health care. I think all Americans deserve the same care that I receive. Z, you ought to let your dad know that you joined the Navy. Let me see. What do we got here? All right, now, this is what Reuters is saying. I think I misspoke. I don't think... this is gobbledygook. Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid told reporters, quote, we have a broad agreement, end quote, refusing to give details on the proposals that will be sent to the Congressional Budget Office. The government-run plan, along with the issue of abortion, was one of the two biggest hurdles remaining for the overhaul, which is President Barack Obama's top domestic priority. A team of 10 Senate Democrats, 5 liberals, and 5 moderates had been working for days on a substitute to the government-run plan included in the Senate bill, which has dismayed some moderates. Oh, my God. This is Reuters. Democratic Senate sources said the substitute proposal would create a nonprofit plan operated by private insurers but administered by the Office of Personnel Management, which supervises health coverage for federal workers. A nonprofit plan operated by private insurers. Wow, 2 + 2 = 5. The sources said negotiators also sought cost estimates on an expansion of the Medicare health program for the elderly, which is now available age 65, to Americans as young as 55 who could buy in to the coverage. Harry Reid said of the deal, quote, insurance companies will certainly have more competition. From whom? The American people will certainly have more choices. How? And then it goes on. But, oh, my God. I mean, what is Harry Reid smoking? Where's he from, Nevada? Has he been eating peyote buds? I mean, what is with this guy? Oh, no, wait, he's a Mormon. Oh, well, there you go. You know, you don't have to worry about anything because after your ass dies, they'll just baptize you into the Mormon faith and you'll walk with Jesus or the angel Moroni or somebody. James is in El Sobrante, California. Hey, James.
Good evening. 3 words for you.
Yeah?
Cancel my policy.
Cancel my policy. Well, what do you got?
From what I saw, this is really going to mean a possible increase in premiums for people of, like, middle-class area, like, incomes, okay?
Right.
The subsidies for lower-income people, so maybe it's not so bad, but there's nothing really there that's going to, you know, keep the premiums from increasing. So the only way, if this health insurance regulation isn't going to be effective, the only way that there's going to be anything we can do about it is if people just cancel their policies.
But I haven't
been to the doctor in 15 years myself. I'm one of these people that's paying just basically to be paying in what I can so that someday when I get sick, there's lots of people like me they don't need my money if this is the way it's going to go down.
Well, that's true. I mean, life is a risk. It's a risk from the moment you're born and suck in your first breath of air and are actually alive and not a parasite. It's a risk. But are you comfortable with knowing you if something does that? You don't have to get sick. What if you're in a car wreck? What if you fall down a flight of steps? What if you're walking down the street and some crazy son of a bitch is robbing a convenience store and you get hit by a stray bullet? I mean, it's not just about getting sick.
Well, okay, I'm not just talking about me, myself, just doing it all by myself. I'm talking about there's got to be, people getting on the internet and everybody, building up this consensus that this is what we're going to do. I mean, people are throwing out their ideas out there generally, just talking about things, not specifically about this topic, but I mean, I've heard people suggest things like a general strike. Like, okay, just tell your boss that you're a radical and don't trust their work one day.
Well, I'm all for that, James. As a matter of fact, we did that here. But, as far as insurance for issues that may come up that require medical attention, I mean, Jesus Christ, why is it we can insure our cars and our houses and our lives, but we can't insure I don't know. Stick around. We'll take some more calls when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. A couple more emails then to your phone calls. David in Los Angeles writes, Mike, I have a contrary thought about this regarding the Medicare at age 55 option. David writes, I think lowering the Medicare age could be the start of a universal single-payer system. Considering the demographic makeup of the country, i.e. the baby boomer population bulge, this will probably ensure millions of the uninsured and opens the door to again lowering the eligibility age in the future, hopefully until this age becomes zero. Sounds fantastic, but I'm hopeful. David. Well, you're the second person to come up with that tonight. And I would like to think that maybe that's the plan, but, that's predicated on a couple of absolutely required beliefs. And that is that there is such a plan. And that the 55, lowering to 55 is part of that plan. I just don't see anybody in government who's capable of thinking that way. Not anymore. We used to have people who could think that way, who could think outside the next 2-year election cycle. But I don't see that anymore. It means that the makeup of the Senate would pretty much and the executive branch would pretty much have to remain the same, i.e., Republican light Democrats, because if Republicans get in, forget it. forget it. So it required Republican light legislative and executive branch, i.e. these corporatist Democrats. So, I'm okay. I hope you're right or something. I don't know. Jennifer is in Australia. She's an American. She writes, during the election, yes, from all the way down here in Oz, once Kucinich had been negated, I tried to encourage my fellow progressives that 2008 was a jump start to 2012. that Obama wasn't the Democratic nominee, rather the corporatist choice. But that wasn't a hugely popular opinion at the time. And yes, I too cried when Obama won. However, I cried knowing that his election slash inauguration would be his one great achievement. And, she adds parenthetically, I am sincerely grateful to him for it. But I was then and still am convinced that the Murdoch plan was to, one, allow the Democrats to take the Oval Office, two, throw in a grenade, three, blame it all on them, and then four, obstruct, 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 and then five, steal it again in 2012. Wait, there's an alternative. 2012 can be ours if the progressive movement can stop eating itself long enough to unite. We're roughly 70% strong. I am so hoping that the failure of the Democratic-controlled three wings, the House, Senate, and Executive, will finally grow a third party. In fact, I'm so convinced of this that I'm moving back home to fight the fight. I truly believe this is our time. The Democrats have turned into the Republicans, and there is a huge opening. Jennifer in Australia, who has decided to come back and lead the fight. Okay. I'm right with you. One more, and then back to your call. This is from Justine in Maryland, who writes, Mike, you're spot on. Obama has the disease to please, to the serious detriment of 95% of the citizens of this country, and yes, the death of tens of thousands. He has, or perhaps had, the chance to be truly transformational, to bring us out of the hellhole we have been in, we have been sucked into for the past several years. What we were hoping for against the odds was a real leader to the core, not just on the surface. That was the glimmer of hope he showed us. In the end, I have to ask, we have been busting our asses for years for this? I don't think so. But come to think of it, you usually don't win based on the odds, do you? Justine in Maryland. Okay, back to your calls here. Tom is in Irvine, California, listening on KTLK. Or is it Irvine or Irving?
That would be Irvine, California, Mike.
Irvine. Hey, Tom.
How you doing? You know, all my best to the family out there, you know. You guys got a good-looking family. I saw your pictures on the Internet, you know.
Well,
glad you guys are still with us telling the truth on the radio. We really appreciate it.
Okay.
Well, you know, my reaction was when I saw the breaking news about the public option being dropped was just that I felt like this was just a replay of the last 8 years of Bush, you know, and we started learning that the elections were being fixed with computerized voting. We got this lukewarm response by the Congress like it wasn't happening, and so basically what we've got now with the corporatized media is just that they have to spend all their time convincing you on television
mm-hmm.
that what we see and what we hear isn't really, in fact, what's happening, that really these senators and these presidents have better intentions, that things will work out in the end sometime down the road. But, you know, after these last 8 years of Bush, we've come to know better and that this isn't a representative government. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it hasn't been for a long time. And I think that's the point, that it drives people crazy who believed that our system, with all its faults, could be made to work and to work effectively for the people. I don't mean to sound very quaint and outdated there.
Work for the people? Really?
But yeah, I think that's what the hope was. It certainly was my hope all my life. I've just felt this frustration ever since I was old enough to assess politically what was going on. And I've said before on this program, that started with a bullet to John Kennedy's head. Every single time, it seems like the progressives or the liberals took a couple of steps forward, then there were three steps back. You know, then another two steps forward, but another three steps back. So, progress? I just don't think so. Tom, I got to leave there. Thanks, pal. Appreciate you checking in. Alvin in San Antonio writes, Mike, I'm disappointed, but maybe we need to take the long view. We get expanded Medicare, and maybe we can get more the next time. Hopefully some states could move forward with a real public option. I understand that's the way it worked in Canada. It came from the states and provinces first. By the way, I'm active duty military, and I also love my government-run health care. I hope within my lifetime the rest of the country can have what I have. Alvin of San Antonio. Okay, that's two guys in the service who have written in tonight to say, hey, you know, hope you get what I can get. Well, maybe so. Rob is in Baltimore, listening on Sirius. Hey, Rob.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. But basically, I have, you know, during the campaign, I killed myself for Obama.
Yeah.
We worked up in Virginia. We worked down in Pennsylvania. We did finally get him elected. We had a lot of hope. But I truly believe that we're going to get a stallion, but I think we got to geld it.
It kind of looks that way, doesn't it?
You know, I'm just at wit's end at this point.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people feel that way. Rob, thanks. It's hard to put it into words. Well, not really. It's just, from my point of view, I'm just reluctant to come out like some freak and just say some of the things I've said on this program. Like, to hell with the Democratic Party. It's not the Democratic Party. But again, how many times do you have your face shoved into an airplane propeller before you start to realize that you know, that's not a real healthy thing to do? And that's what this is all feeling like. So, I don't know. All right, we have a break here. We'll continue to take your calls on this because it was a real kick in the teeth. I thought with all the BS, with all the crap that that the insurance industry was pressuring and lying on television ads, with all the deceit and typical untruths, half-truths, and lies put out there by right-wing radio and television, which is about 95% of it, that still there were enough Democrats in the House and the Senate. Jesus Christ, how many do there have to be? 80 Democrats in the Senate? What would that do it? You weak-kneed sons of bitches. But apparently that's not the case. We'll be right back.
Now the roving gambler, he was very bored. Trying to create a next world war. He found a promoter who nearly fell off the floor. He said, I've never engaged in this kind of thing before, but yes, I think it can be very easily done.
Truth seekers, here's the truth speaker, Mike Malloy.
It's 21 past the hour. Back to your phone calls here. Van is in Mount Baldy, California, listening on KTLK. Hey, Van.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Don't give up on Obama. He's up against this gigantic impersonal machine. And you yourself have said his life is in danger. We have to, he's our guy. We have to stand by it. And it's true. The Dems are pathetic. I was saying to Kathy, the whole idea of the big wealth has been choice restriction so that it doesn't matter if you vote Republican or Democrat. Mm-hmm. And that's been their theory for 100 years.
But, then what makes Obama any different?
He is different. He's just different than Bush.
Well, no.
Even different than Clinton.
Well, no, I mean Clinton. Clinton and Obama are cut from the same cloth. Bush was a joke. I mean, Bush didn't run the country. I don't compare anybody to George W. Bush. He was a half-witted jerk who was manipulated by some real warmongers. But Obama, I mean, what's the difference between Obama and most of the Democratic Party leadership. They don't mean what they say, and what they say is not what a liberal or a progressive wants to hear. What we do is fill in the blank spaces. And obviously, with Obama, that's been a tremendous mistake on the part of a blinded progressives like me.
Wait a second. You're President Mike. You're in the Oval Office. You really want to push this through. So here come Ben Nelson and Mary Landrieu and so on and so forth. And you really apply the pressure. You're a progressive. You want it badly. And you want to be allied with your base. They look at you and say, I'm not going to do it.
Well,
what do you do then?
Well, in the first place, Obama's incapable of doing that. If he worked, what did he do? He called John Conyers the other day and whined to Conyers that Conyers should stop demeaning Barack Obama. Apparently, Obama is a whiner. He's not going to. Can you imagine Lyndon Johnson? Let's find a Democrat who wouldn't take any snot from anybody.
I agree.
Can you imagine or Tip O'Neill and you know Lyndon Johnson?
But they didn't have. Here's my point. In a way, this sounds a little hyperbolic, but there's a good case to be made that Sean Hannity has more power than Obama.
Uh-oh.
He's on hours every day. Obama, he doesn't get to reach us. He doesn't get to say. I mean, this is what was so disappointing to me about Kerry. He had one chance, and one of your callers just a little bit ago said how little bit the president or the elected officials get to actually address the public. Kerry had one chance. He didn't even use his chance.
Mm. Well, I hear what you're saying, Van, but when you become president of the United States, if the force of your personality is so weak that you have to be on television all the time like Sean Hannity is a larva. I agree.
He's an amoeba, but he's on all the time, and he is getting to exert way more influence than the elected officials. And that's all by design.
I don't know, Van, that Sean Hannity gets to exert influence. I think what Sean Hannity does is to get people to want to suck up around him and try to be like Sean, because Sean, even with his misshapen face and his funny hair, he's still on television, as you point out. Radio and television, he's on, what, 4 hours a day? I hear what you're saying, and I don't know. Van, I got to leave there. Thanks, pal. I appreciate you checking in. I just don't think I don't think somebody who becomes president of the United States in the first place, Hannity's so overexposed, just like Beck. I mean they've become caricatures. They're cartoon characters. Who do they appeal to? Other cartoon characters. They are irrelevant in the sense of, sure, they sit around and tell high five each other. We did it. We did it. No, they didn't do anything. What they did was provide cover for corporate America while corporate America issues the orders. Sean Hannity doesn't issue the orders. I know you're not saying that, Van. I understand you're not saying that. And I agree. You're right. He gets more face time with the American public, a certain segment of the American public, a certain segment. You know, Sean Hannity, I don't care what these half-wits say about their audiences. Their radio audiences are probably a tenth or a twentieth of what they say they are. Their television audiences are bigger. Of course they are, because they're on Fox, and Fox is the number one cable network in the country, at least when those guys are on. But I don't know. I when you say, what do I expect Obama to do? I expected him to be a leader. I expected him to apply whatever pressure he needed to apply to take these recalcitrant Democrats into the woodshed, so to speak, and hold up the big stick and say, now listen, goddammit, I'm the president. Get out there, or I will make sure my buddy Rahm Emanuel, my hitman, will deny you everything you need to get reelected. Get your ass out there and vote for this particular issue. That's what I expected Obama to do, and he won't, because he can't.
They're crowding.
Truth seekers, gather round the campfire. It's more Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour. A couple more emails. This is from Mark in Indiana. Writes regarding healthcare. I'm sorry, Mike, but this is one time that I can't agree with you. Lowering the age limit for Medicare is a good idea. That is also combined with an expansion of Medicaid so that you don't have to be dirt effing poor to get it. I'm on Medicaid and I like it. So far, it's been great for me. Medicare should be for everyone anyway. Let me digress. Yeah, Mark, that would be called single-payer health care, but nobody wants... Oh, okay. Back to Mark. I realize that this doesn't get us there, but I think it's a great start and it's politically saleable. For one thing, it exposes the hypocrisy of the Republicans who never wanted Medicare to begin with and have been screaming fake outrage about Medicare cuts for a couple of weeks now. I saw Dr. Dean tonight on television. He thinks it's a good idea. I will defer to his expertise. And there's a P.S. here from Mark. The public option, so-called, was going nowhere anyway. Even if it succeeded, it would be so watered down that it wouldn't be worth a stocking full of pet rocks for Christmas. Medicare works. It is popular and doesn't require building a whole new bureaucracy. People could be put into the system within months. Mark, well, I don't disagree with what you're saying. Of course they could. But Medicare, lowering the age of Medicare from 65 to 55, what about the people who are 52 or 48 or 46 or 41 or 39. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, if this is all we can expect, okay, I guess half a loaf truly is better than none. But, you know, the devil, as usual, is in the details. How is this expanded Medicare going to work? From what I can understand, it's not really expanded Medicare. It's something like Medicare that's going to be run on a nonprofit basis. What? By private health insurance agencies. They're using the term expanded Medicare, but it's not. I don't know. I don't think any of us know right now because Harry Reid said, well, I'm not going to talk about the details. Yeah, why should you, you dumbass? Why share the details with the American public? So I don't know. I just don't believe that deep-sixing the public option as it was originally proposed, that it would be a government-administered, like Medicare, like Medicaid, like the VA, but not really, because it wouldn't have government doctors. It wouldn't, you know. But it would be administered by the government, by another bureaucracy, maybe Department of Health and Humans or something. I don't know. But the public option would be an insurance plan for people who wanted to choose that. It would be cost controlled, like Medicare has been. Sure, there's a lot of waste in Medicare. Of course there is. But that's not, that's a function of the greed and the insanity of people who see the Medicare system and say, oh, well, there's something I can take advantage of. And then that public option morphed into, okay, it'll be an insurance, like a brokerage house, where there'll be all these companies who will say, you know, like the Chicago Board of Trade, I guess, where everybody would be screaming out the rates that they would be willing to offer to the uninsured. And then I heard it was, you'll have to buy it. If you go for the public option, you'll have to get into that exchange and buy it. And if you don't, you're going to pay a tax penalty. And then I heard, so which is it? I mean, what is it? Why not just, if you want to go Medicare for everyone, go Medicare for everyone and call it that instead of calling it single payer, which the right wing hates and corporate America hates. Why not just call it Medicare for everyone? Okay, Medicare for everyone. On the other hand, why not just be honest and say after 230-some years, it's time for this country to wake up and start taking care of its citizens by providing government-sponsored health care, not government-run, but government-sponsored, where anybody can buy in. And if you don't buy in, okay, you're lost when you wind up in a car wreck and need $6 million worth of reconstructive surgery. What? You didn't buy in because you were 28 and you don't need it? Oh, well, too bad! Or something. Peter writes, Mike, I wonder if anyone can honestly say that we live in a so-called representative democracy, as kids learn in school, when 70% of the population wants a public option and the government won't give one because it's unfavorable to insurance corporations. I think that's a rhetorical question, but it kind of answers itself. Kitty writes, so the public option got killed. We saw this coming. Yet we're still mad. Why? Because this has been nothing more than a kabuki theater where we are the fools who eagerly lap it up for any sign of change. The first warning sign should have been Obama's Senate votes, and another should have been his supposed deal with Big Pharma. I really do believe that Wall Street and the corporations in charge of this damn country needed a figurehead who represented a superficial and vague notion of change in order to quell populist anger at a crucial time. Mind you, these are the same a-holes running the whole teabagging orgy against Obama because they want to install one of their own in 2012, killing two birds with one stone. First, they give the people the figurehead of change, and then perhaps more conspiracy theorists here, they discredit the notion that minorities can succeed in the White House. So no matter how much Bush failed, he got to serve his two terms. No matter how much Obama succeeds, he won't or does, excuse me, he won't get his second term. I am going to guarantee a Republican victory in 2012. Think about it. The big insurance companies get what they wanted. Health reform that's really more of a billion-dollar giveaway to themselves. But more importantly, the impetus for health reform gets silenced by the Democratic Party leadership for who knows, 10 years, 20 years, generations. Next thing you know, the supposed ban on pre-existing conditions and rescission goes out the window, replaced by the industry-favored voluntary regulation. And she goes on and on and on. And then she says, someone tells me this is just my inner conspiracy theorist saying this in anger and that this is not true. Am I wrong to hold this view? I don't want to be cynical. But from what I'm reading in my education reader, I'm beginning to think in ways that may strike you as extremely cynical. Tell me, Mike, am I knucking futz? No. I don't think you're futz at all. I don't know. Nanette is in Petaluma listening on Green 960. Hey, Nanette.
I just had to welcome you to the left coast.
Yeah, well, thank you. We, you know, we've been out there for a long time, but now we're live.
I know, but
yeah.
You were never on live for 3 hours, and I was starting to send really snarky emails to John Scott.
Oh, did you? Well, good. Well, so you were the one that did it. Good.
Well, yeah, thank you. So I'm really not calling about health care because it's like I'm just totally overwhelmed by all the issues. I mean, it's all the same. The war, the economy, healthcare, it's all like this nasty, huge ball that I think is like a freight train. And I honestly don't think we can stop it. You know, I think it has to just sort of implode and then we all start over. I really think it's just a waste of our time to keep, you know, pushing these little buttons and writing letters and you know, calling Nancy Pelosi and all these people. I have no faith in them anymore.
Well, I certainly understand, and I'm right there with you, Nanette.
Well,
all right, what do we do then? Adjust?
I don't know. I tell you, I consider myself to be a democratic socialist. I really feel that that's the most you know, effective.
rational way to run a society. Yes.
But I'm a registered Democrat, but I am gonna, I mean, I've been sort of a Green and a Democrat and a Green and a Democrat. So I think I'm just gonna register Green and let the chips fall where they may.
That's probably a good idea. It probably is. Like you, like a lot of people, in this country, I think right now, I see this great big ball. It's like a, like Sisyphus. You keep pushing this thing up the mountain and it keeps,
just, you know, we
back on you.
Like tiny little victories, and then they kind of roll back. So I just don't see that we're going forward. So as I told Kathy, you know, if it really gets bad, why don't we get a bunch of like-minded people and buy like a town in Italy someplace and start our own country?
Well, I'm all for that if I can get a loan. all right, Nanette, thanks. I appreciate appreciate you checking in. Thanks for the welcome too. I appreciate it. You know, the history of evolution has been adaptation. Natural selection is nothing more than adaptation. Right, Kathy? That's your field. Right? Okay. Adaptation. So, you know, what's the charge from Mother Nature? Adapt or die. That's very simple. You know, adapt or die. So, throwing up one's hands and which I've talked about doing, and running screaming into the woods is not the way to do it. Unless you want to die, not you physically. That's not going to kill you. It's going to kill your spirit, maybe. Or it might bring to an end your desire to really work for political change, which might be a good idea, you know, to just say, okay, I've put in my 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, whatever you've put in, and just let it go. Who knows? All right, we have a break coming up here. When we come back, I guess we'll take a couple more calls, and then we're going to go ahead and break for the top of the hour and do something a little bit different. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Yet tonight, how much he hates these people. It's more Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour, the Malloy Show here. Charles from Michigan writes, hi Mike, remember when all of those folks were telling you they were going to hold Barack Obama's feet to the fire once he became president? Okay, how's that working out? Jen writes, well, let's see, I'm angry because the Democrats forgot how to bargain. Anyone ever buy a car before? Well, you don't start with the MSRP. You start with the dealer's invoice cost. Essentially, the Democrats started with the public option, MSRP, when they should have started with single payer, dealer's invoice. So they were already effed. But now they've capitulated on the public option. That is why I'm done with the Democratic Party. I suppose I should give the Senate Democrats credit for tabling the abortion amendment, but I won't. They're just throwing us an effing bone. Oh, sure. I know third parties are a joke. I still believe in voting as a civic duty, but I cannot vote Democrat after everything that's happened this year. President Obama has not lived up to his campaign promises, and he has shown himself to be yet another corporate shill. I'm through contributing my hard-earned money to the campaigns of people who are nothing more than proxies for big business. Enough. That is why I'm angry. You got a problem with that? Be careful. This is my 7th beer of the night. All right, Jen. I hope you're home. Well, of course, unless you're doing this from your BlackBerry in your car. No, don't do that. George is in Long Beach, California, listening on KTLK.
Hey, how are you doing, Mike?
I'm all right. How are you?
Gotta love your show. I tell Kathy that she should say more. We miss Kathy when she doesn't make a little comment.
Yeah. Well, she's being quiet tonight. She had some dental work done today.
Oh, okay, good. And I'm glad Molly's doing well. Anyway, okay, now that I'm through the preliminary.
There you go.
Mike.
Yes?
What are we going to do, man? I mean, we have to get out the Kevlar. What's up? What are we going to do?
Adapt.
I mean, you know, first of all, I mean, Obama, and I was like you. I mean, after the, you know, but really, after about the first month after the inauguration or whatever,
right.
If you really listen to him and listen to his speeches and any comment on any subject, whether it's war, healthcare, whatever, if you just listen to him and cut through the rhetoric, he sounds just like intelligent George Bush.
No.
Like George.
Well,
and he has sense. I mean, and it's pathetic. And I don't know why people keep on believing and thinking and hoping and I don't know, what was it, you today or someone was talking about, I think it was you. Was it you at the very beginning of the program today talking about how the reason that we don't have a two-party constitution was back in the 1820s and blah, blah, blah. And was that you?
No, that's probably Hartman.
Hartman, yeah, Hartman was talking about that. Okay, but anyway, but I don't, you know, I really don't know. I mean, I don't know what we can do. I'm going to tell you, the only thing that I know, and this maybe is not hope, this probably is hope for Molly, maybe not for us, but the only thing I do know is that, and if the history of the world proves anything, that everything changes. I mean, just when people, you know, Adolf Hitler and his boys and Genghis Khan and his boys and...
Well, yeah, and George, that's been my hope for a long time. Nothing is static. Everything is dynamic. Everything changes. But, everything tends toward the disorganized from the organized, the chaos theory. Things disintegrate. That's the natural projection. Things start whole and then disintegrate. So one can make the argument, if one were a cynical bastard like I am, that the change goes from an integrated object into a disintegrated mess. So, you know, George, I got to leave there. Thanks, man. Is that too harsh? It's not chaos. Is it chaos theory? Is that what it is, Kathy? No, what am I talking about? You know, disintegration. There's a term for that, where things go from a stable state to an unstable state.
You're just science man tonight.
No, I'm not. I'm just lost in words.
Entropy.
Entropy.
The entropy of the universe is always increasing. Order, you know, out of chaos.
Yeah, entropy.
In other words, unless there's a constant input of energy into a system, then entropy occurs because it takes... It's just like cleaning your house.
Yeah.
If you don't spend any time cleaning your house,
yeah,
entropy takes over.
I got you.
It's
okay.
Anything. It's just disorganization.
How's your Novocaine?
Is the natural... It's starting to wear off. And
oh,
so
good.
It's not feeling quite as
oh, good.
Odd as it was earlier. And yes, you were talking earlier about natural selection.
Yeah, adaptation.
And adaptation.
Right.
And adapt or die.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
It's survival of the fittest. But, you know, everyone makes the mistake about that.
Yeah.
It's not the fittest. Everyone always thinks that means physically fit.
No, like, it's like which fitness. One fits into the
it's
system.
It's the one that is like a puzzle piece fit.
Right.
It's whatever organism fits its environment best at that
right.
time.
It's not the strongest.
Conditions.
It's not the predator.
So,
right.
You wouldn't have platypuses or right. oddities like that if
right.
they didn't fit into the system at some point.
Right. So survival of the fittest means the one that fits
its environment.
All right.
Adaptations can be
entropy.
Helpful
entropy.
Or detrimental, but only those adaptations that enhance an organism's ability to survive and pass its genes on to the next generations are the ones that are selected.
Okay.
Did you have any other sciencey stuff you wanted
No. That's very sciencey, and thank you.
I can see the moon from my house.
That means you're an astronaut.
That makes me an astrophysicist.
Yeah, it does.
And this would be a good time to discuss the fact that we're doing buy one, get one free offers.
Why?
Just because it's a good time.
Oh, okay.
Because we're coming up to a break. Everybody, if you haven't finished your Christmas shopping and you just can't get enough of the science stuff on the Malloy Show, it makes a great gift for the
Yeah,
holidays.
go to MikeMalloy.com, and there's a banner at the top. If you buy a podcast subscription now, you get a second one. Absolutely, totally, completely free.
And you don't have to go to a mall.
And you don't have to wait for FedEx to show up.
Or Amazon.
Anything, yeah. Right. You, nothing. Just do it, okay? Please, please. That makes this 25-cent radio program 12.5-cent radio program. You can do this. You can do this. All right, we'll be back after the break. We may, I think we're gonna clear the lines, if you don't mind. No, wait, let's not do that. Neil's been holding off for half an hour. We'll take a couple more calls. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Seven past the hour. All right, this is the Malloy Show. You know what we're talking about. Neil is in Orange County and listening on KTLK. Hey, Neil.
Hey, Mike. I'll take about 3 minutes and I'll shut up. I want to talk about something called the MAI.
MAI?
Multilateral Agreement on Investment. First of all, if you're wondering why, I tried to get this through to Hartman the other day. I didn't have time, but if you're wondering why, no matter who you vote for, they magically end up having the same exact foreign and domestic policy. Just look at the results of globalization. The point of international trade deals is to not let people have any nonprofit anything, you know, to not let them run their own anything.
Right.
UPS was suing the government of Canada for having their own post office. I mean, that's the very point. Now, I mean, the president doesn't have any power. It's not even a choice anymore. We have sold our sovereignty, and in case you think that we would be aware of it if that were the case, the MAI was done in complete secret from even Congress. This was by Clinton, and it was written by corporations for corporations to supersede American authority, and the press didn't say a word. To this day, there has been hardly anything published in any mainstream newspaper. It was total secret, and the only reason it didn't get passed that we know of is that it got leaked to the international press.
If you have
huge public pressure,
if you have the time, you know, like tomorrow or whatever, or even tonight, if you could just do a little work for me and send me a link or two to this, because I have not heard of this at all. MAI, yes. What is it again?
MAI, the Multilateral Agreement on Investment. And it's like NAFTA on steroids. And the president, Clinton, thought that he had the authority for some strange reason to negotiate trade deals without Congress even being aware of it, much less voting on it. Because the very point of it is that it's poisonous to people.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, public pressure would be the death of it. And it was, that we know of.
Well,
so
I
just want to...
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just wanted people to be aware. Look, if you're wondering why, you know, it just doesn't have any effect, it may be literally illegal to have any kind of nonprofit anything. I mean, that's the way it is. We have sold our sovereignty. There are no, you know, America's just a word. You know, I mean, that's what I'm afraid of. And now, not to depress you even more, but if you look at the timing of the whole thing, I mean, if that were the case, if we have institutionalized corporate dictatorship, if, you know, the only way out of that is revolution, look at the FISA bill. That makes revolution illegal and impossible. I mean, you know, they can tap into whatever information they want, track you by your cell phone with your GPS, and, I mean, you're screwed. Revolution wouldn't even be possible nowadays. Posse comitatus is legal, but I'll just let you conclude your own. You know, I sound kind of paranoid, but... look it up.
Well, yeah, that part I'm real familiar with, Neil. It's just the MAI thing. I'm maybe I know it under a different heading or a different signifier. But send me something if you would. Thanks, Neil. I appreciate you checking in. Oh, my. All right, let's move on. It's been a long time since we've, you know, slammed 2 hours into the same topic on this program. That's very unusual. I got this, a couple of things I just want to share with you very quickly here. I got an email from Sandy today. Mike, if you could, please let your 36 to 38 listeners know that they may send a card for Christmas or whatever to soldiers that are recovering at Walter Reed Medical Center. I thought it was a great idea. I hope you do, too. And I, you know, I think this is a good thing to do. You know, I guess one can make an argument that someone who comes back from one of these illegal wars shot up only has himself or herself to blame, but that's not fair. For the most part, these are young people who are sold a bill of goods to begin with. To join the military or feel they have no choice where it concerns an income and health care and so on and so forth. They don't make the policy. So I think this is a good idea. All you have to do, excuse me, is send a card. And I do, I mean, I think this is a good idea. Send a card to a recovering soldier at Walter Reed Medical, Army Medical Center, Washington, D.C. It'll get there. There's a street address, but if you send it that way to a recovering soldier, Walter Reed Army Medical Center, Washington, D.C., 20307, you can get the full address just by going online, Walter Reed Army Medical Center. But it's a good idea, recovering soldier. It's a good idea. The other thing I got today was from John Gray, who is in Arkansas, and he writes, I'm in the process, he writes a couple of personal things here. He's been a podcast subscriber, and he's renewing, but he said, I'm in the process of building a network of Green Party operatives in each county in Arkansas to distribute literature, knock on doors, carry out whatever tasks we need as the election season nears. I feel it's important to stay out of the local press as much as possible. He's talking about just doing this all grassroots. The Arkansas media is extremely right-wing and seems focused on marginalizing or declaring not viable any candidate who supports an anti-corporate message. Since my main goal is finding a way to help kill corporate personhood, I am unlikely to draw support from local companies like Walmart. So, arranging for an under-the-radar type effort seems prudent until, hopefully, we have enough statewide coverage. The media will not have time to reverse the impact. I will be speaking to university and college groups to build Green Party membership and enlist workers. With luck, I should be able to avoid early discrediting by the media. I'm afraid the tipping point has been passed and that our great experiment in a democratic republic form of government cannot be saved. We are now a corporate dictatorship with all the illusions and trappings of democracy, yet with very little, if any, power left to the people. The efficiency and speed with which any threats to corporate power were eliminated from the field of candidates in the 2008 presidential election sealed it for me. Ron Paul, Dennis Kucinich, John Edwards, and Mike Gravel were all declared not viable as soon as they made the slightest media-induced error. They were excluded from debates. I concluded we were to be left with a field of corporate-approved, corporate-compliant operatives. Subsequent events have only confirmed that suspicion. The recent health insurance reform, quote, debates, unquote, have further confirmed that corporate power trumps the people's wishes. I don't know what I can do to turn things around, but I have to try. I may be the only one willing to point out that the emperor has no clothes here in Arkansas, sacrificing a political career in the process. That would be fine with me, as I'm not a politician, and I do not want another career. I think I am more widely read and better educated in the effects of the issues Mrs. Blanche Lincoln, who's now the senator, habitually supports than is she. I see up close the impacts on the working poor, not only in Arkansas, but also in Latin America. I think we have arrived at a point where Americans must decide. Are corporations in existence to serve us, or are we here only to serve corporations? I sincerely hope the decision can be brought about without bloodshed. If this decision is not made, then I think we are truly lost. He has a website, You might want to check it out. John Gray, G-R-A-Y, John Gray for U.S. Senate.com. Now, again, I have never talked with John Gray. This is the first time that I'm aware of receiving anything from him. He did send me a DVD of an interview with a Fayetteville, Arkansas community access television station. I haven't seen it yet. But, you know, what we've been talking about is supporting candidates on the Green Party or the Socialist Party for these offices. And the idea of just giving up and saying, you know, can't be done. I talk that BS on this program a lot, and I'm sure it drives some of you crazy, but I'm not giving up. Hell no. You know, I'm just not going to do it. You just adapt. You shift. You know, you go from third gear back up to second and gun the son of a bitch. That's what you do.
Redefining anger management. It's Mike Malone.
21 past the hour. Somebody just sent me a link to one of the diarists at Daily Kos. Labor in Vain is the name of the diarist. Labor in Vain. And he or she has an update about what's going on with this Senate bill. And then Labor in Vain writes, end of updates. But yes, Wall Street won again. You know that's who's behind the insurance companies, don't you? The same people who are behind the scams and Ponzi schemes that your leaders just paid off with your grandchildren's money. Wall Street bankers. That's who won tonight. And before you succumb to partisan BS and ridiculous flame wars over who's really at fault and what to do about it and how Ralph Nader is the real enemy of all enemies, let me explain to you what really happened tonight, what Wall Street really was fighting against and what they really won. For almost 40 years now, a campaign has been waged. It started back in the late 60s and culminated during the 1980 presidential campaign of Ronald Reagan. That campaign has sought to achieve one primary goal, a most radical, most un-American of goals, to wit, to weaken as much as possible the power of the people as embodied by the Constitution in our government of, by, and for the people. I blank you not. That's what these bastards have been up to for four freaking decades now. By bastards, I mean the titans of industry and the lords of finance acting through their agents, the Chamber of Commerce, the Business Roundtable, American Enterprise, and other business lobbies, not to mention their army of media whores who do their bidding daily on television and newspapers and on blogs. They figured out that the greatest threat to big business and their very big profits is none other than our democratic means of government. And what did they do? They spent billions of dollars on a massive campaign to make our government of, by, and for the people, incredibly, the enemy of the people. Think about that. It's pretty ingenious. We're supposed to have this government of the people thing. And there's Ronald Reagan, the freaking presidential candidate, saying that our government of the people is the problem. And the effing people voted for him. Voted him in. Make no mistake, this wasn't just a different political philosophy. It was war on you and this country and everything our forefathers fought and died for. And it is that same war that defeated the public option tonight. What absolutely cannot be allowed is the creation of another agency that can demonstrate that government can do good. The thing to understand is that the war on government, which is really a war on democracy itself, is more important than any specific policy or even than short-term profit. This is why nationalizing the banks was always off the table. Nationalizing anything is off the table. The people must not be allowed to see the power and good of their own government again. Otherwise, they would demand that their government do what it was designed to do, fix things, solve problems, and help organize social systems that help benefit all Americans. Right now, as much as 30% of the American population sees our government as the enemy. Many more do not trust it to handle health insurance, despite the fact that it is 10 times more efficient than private insurance. You have to see it in historical terms to fully appreciate it. Our democratic government of the people has been one of the greatest instruments of social justice in the history of mankind. And as such, it has been the greatest enemy to despotism and oppression. But alas, the people were stupid and were tricked into squandering this great gift and betraying their country, their people, and themselves. Ingenious. Well, yeah, that's from tonight at Daily Kos under the heading Update, Harry Reid is Lying. All right, we're about ready for a break here, I think. No, not quite. Got an email from Donald. Mike, I'm retired from the Navy after 24 years of service. I'm 71 years old, and when I turned 65, I was forced to sign up for Medicare Part B, or I would lose the use of the military medical facilities. Really? I didn't know that. It doesn't matter if I never go to a civilian doctor. I and my wife must belong to Medicare Part B. I have used military medical facilities mostly for prescription meds. My wife and I had used a private medical plan after I retired from the Navy because of a problem we had with our daughter on a weekend at the Naval Medical Center here in San Diego. We were able to keep the same civilian doctors after we turned 65 and had to go on Medicare. We have TRICARE for life through the military and Medicare Parts A and B. However, Medicare is administered through a civilian contractor and not a government agency. Our Medicare statements come from Palmetto GBA in Columbia, South Carolina. When I joined the Navy, I was told that when I retired, I would have free medical care for the rest of my life. Also, the military was not in the Social Security system when I joined the Navy in 1956. But the next year, we were forced into the system in order to prop it up. The same thing happened to my free medical care for life. I have to pay for Medicare, even if I only use the military medical facilities. I'm so sick of the way the Senate and the House is caving in to the insurance industry that I am looking for a third party to support. Well, enough griping for now. My wife and I both listened to your show between 6 and 9 p.m. here in San Diego. And think you're doing a great service for all Americans, even if the stupid Republicans don't think so. Donald, we'll be right back. Baby, grass is growing, it's time to move on, time to get going. Sometime later, getting the words wrong, wasting the meaning, losing the right. Nauseous adrenaline, breaking up a dog fight like a deer in the headlights. When heartburn.
Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
Twenty-five before the hour. Oh no, I hate this. I hate this. The email I shared with you from Sandy about sending a card to any service member or a recovering American soldier. Apparently, that's Walter Reed Army Medical Center officials stopped that. I don't think Sandy realized that. I sure didn't. So Walter Reed Army Medical Center officials want to remind the public of an incorrect holiday email asking recipients to send cards, letters, and packages to recovering soldiers here. The email suggests recipients, blah, blah, blah. All military installations, not just Walter Reed, cannot accept these packages in support of the decision by then-Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Transportation Policy in 2001. This decision was made to ensure the safety and well-being of patients and staff at medical centers throughout the Department of Defense. In addition, the U.S. Postal Service is no longer accepting something addressed to any service member or addressed a recovering American soldier, letters or packages. This stuff will go into a collection box, will not be delivered. Oh, damn. Well, Andre sent that to me. And, you know, I trust Sandy and I trust Andre about this. So apparently, this is a result, I guess, of what? The anthrax stuff? I guess so. Anyway, Andre, thanks for coming up. Sandy, your heart's in the right place, and that was a good thing to send it to me. But if you're thinking about doing it, okay, never mind. Plus, the Red Cross has something like that, but the cutoff is December 7th. You just can't win. You can't. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Okay, where are we? I've been doing a little bit of checking on the MAI thing, the MAI document that the caller mentioned. No, it was never passed into law, but oh my God. Just do a Wikipedia search for MAI. You'll get all you need to know. Oh, the Obama administration yesterday, according to McClatchy newspapers, has okayed drilling in the Arctic off Alaska. The Interior Department today, it says here, yesterday, December 7th, gave the go-ahead for Shell Oil to begin drilling three exploratory wells in the Chukchi Sea, a move that opens the door for production in a new region of the Arctic. Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski, the top Republican on the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee, said, quote, "This is progress." Today's announcement from the MMS is an encouraging sign that Alaska's oil and natural gas resources can continue to play a major role in America's energy security, end quote. The Interior Department signed off on a plan that allows Shell to drill up to three exploration wells during the July to October open water drilling season. Blah, blah, blah. Marilyn Hyman, who's the U.S. Arctic Program Director for the Pew Environment Group, said, quote, "Obviously, we're disappointed. A spill could happen from an exploratory well just as easily as it could happen from a production well. They have not yet demonstrated they have the ability and the expertise to clean up an oil spill, especially in the darkness, the extreme weather, and the icy conditions," end quote. Oh, Christ. So what's new, right? I love the headline. Obama administration okays oil drilling in Arctic off Alaska. Do, 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 do. Incredible stuff, huh? today's New York Times, it's too late to get into this now. Today's New York Times front page, the headline, "Millions in U.S. Drink Dirty Water." You know, and I'm sitting there after it was Kathy's turn to take Molly to kindergarten today. So after breakfast, I'm sitting there reading the Times and I see this. And the lead sentence, more than 20% of the nation's water treatment systems have violated key provisions of the Safe Drinking Water Act over the last 5 years, according to New York Times analysis of federal data. The law requires communities to deliver safe tap water to local residents, but since 2004, the water provided to more than 49 million people has contained illegal concentrations of chemicals like arsenic. Remember that? Remember Bush and arsenic? arsenic, or radioactive substances like uranium, as well as dangerous bacteria often found in sewage. Regulators were informed of each of those violations as they occurred, but regulatory records show that fewer than 6% of the water systems that broke the law were ever fined or punished by federal officials, including those at the EPA, which has ultimate responsibility for enforcing the standards. And then it says, studies indicate that drinking water contaminants are linked to millions of instances of illness within the United States each year. And it goes on, and I recommend if you haven't read this, go to nytimes.com and read it. Jesus, God. Well, this is, you know, it's another example of what the Bush crime family did to us. If they couldn't deregulate, all they had to do was appoint people to head the regulatory agencies who would not enforce. Very simple. Huh? This is the corporatization of everything. Your thoughts now belong to corporations. Are you aware of that? No, I'm serious. Your thoughts. The unconscious ones, because you are bombarded 24/7 with corporate messages. I don't care where you go. Unless you go out in the woods, turn everything off, get off the grid, say F it, and just sit out and smoke a doobie and just, I don't know, listen to the birds or play with your kids or grandkids, something. But your thoughts are now owned by corporate America. And you're drinking water? Please. How many years have we talked about this, Kathy? Ever since you've been producing the show for what, 7 years? How many years? 8? 9?
Is this another science question? Since February of 2001.
Oh, my God. Seems like just yesterday. But over and over and over again, you know, we've talked about this. I'm sure you're aware of it. What are you going to do? And George Bush's famously ignorant statement about, well, I don't worry so much about arsenic in the water. Your thoughts are owned by corporate America now. Son of a bitch. My thoughts, too. I, you know. I don't mean your thoughts. Oh, you poor sucker. No, 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 no. Usually when I use the pronoun you, I either mean I or we. I'm as deep in this as you are. Oh, my God. All right. Chris is in Albuquerque. Is this Chris?
Yes, hi, Mike.
Oh, this is not Chris from Abiquiu. This is Chris from Albuquerque.
Albuquerque, yeah.
Oh, hi, Chris.
Oh, hi, Mike. First time I call, and I don't think we have all the details about what's going on in the Senate, but one thing I will say now is that the more complicated it sounds, the more likely it is that we're being screwed, and pretty sure you all agree.
Oh, yeah.
But I also, I love the way you framed it earlier when you said it almost feels like we're hooked on drugs or however you phrase it.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to get out, but we don't know how to say no, and we keep being hooked, and I feel the same way. Just a quick comment on Medicare. I think if they wanted to make this a long-term program where basically the age of eligibility would go down, they would put it in the law now. Like within 5 years, it's going down by, you know, up to age 45 and then 10, you know.
Right, right.
So, yeah. And as far as I know, they're not doing this. But what I don't know, and I wish I had the numbers here, is from the House plan, it looks like the public option would only be pretty much available to 6 million people, or that's how many people would sign up.
Uh-huh.
And I wonder how many people would be included in that 10-year age range on the Medicare program.
Yeah, I do too. And not just that, whether or not it's a scam, whether or not it is something to divert our attention, and it's not supposed to go into effect until 2014, I don't believe. Chris, I got a break here. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Take care.
When you've done a little line or two.
It's about 10 before the hour. I wanted to get in a Prairie 2 comment tonight, and I think I'll do it now. Prairie 2, who is our economic affairs correspondent, writes, world markets were down sharply today on the news that Greece has had its credit rating downgraded, and the word is that the Dubai crisis won't be resolved anytime soon, despite a sell-off of Dubai World's overseas holdings. Gold continued going down as the dollar continued to strengthen against other currencies. Oil was down again, reflecting the continued decline of the economy. A survey of U.S. companies found that at least half of them will continue to lay off into the new year, and the rest won't be hiring that much. President Obama unveiled an array of new ideas today he would like to use to encourage more hiring. He didn't say how much he intends to spend on this. He has a so-called windfall from the TARP program of $200 billion that is coming back from the big banks who want to pretend they are making money to justify their obscene bonuses. In reality, the banks consider this money chump change compared to the trillions they got from the Fed. They've been able to use the Fed money to churn the markets worldwide and are just wallowing in profits. The reality is, of course, that they aren't creating any new wealth. They are just harvesting it from pension plans and other such investments made by the unwary. It looks like everybody's making money, but when the markets plunge to about a third of what they are now, the accounting will take place. The rich will be richer, and the middle class will disappear for good. The really rich don't play the stock market. If the dollar continues to strengthen, this accounting will come sooner rather than later. Greece won't be the only country that can't pay its bills. The U.S. can ride the strong dollar for a time, but a strong U.S. dollar means more outsourcing and more unemployment. $200 billion won't make a dent in that, and there would be more calls for working people to accept lower and lower wages. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke wasn't kidding about cutting Social Security either. The conservative wet dream about the government being too broke to pay entitlements is getting closer every day. Even if the talk about taxing the rich were to come to something, it probably wouldn't be enough anymore. The economy needs to be totally rebuilt from the ground up, or it will just continue to deteriorate. Any boost from stimulus will just be a bubble if the same parasites are left in place. Prairie 2. His website is prairie2.com. That last paragraph, Kathy, sounds like what you were talking about entropy. It needs to be, unless energy is infused into a closed system, it will deteriorate. As he says, the economy needs to be totally rebuilt from the ground up or to continue to deteriorate. Why don't we build a democratic socialist state that will utterly and absolutely, finally, once and for all, murder a capitalist system that is antithetical to anything that has human worth, whether it is, I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. Nationalize those five industries I talked about. Everything else can continue on an entrepreneurial basis, as long as you play by the rules, and the rules are established so that you, it's the Boy Scout rules. That's all. That's all we're asking. Leave your campsite cleaner than when you got there, when you leave. That's all. It's so simple. Big mining company comes in, rips and gouges the earth, takes the coal or the copper or whatever it is, and then just walks away and leaves everybody sick and broke and dying young, full of disease. And say, well, it's not us. Not our fault. Sons of bitches, you dirty sons of bitches. I mean, is that fair? Is that right? Is that playing nice in the sandbox? No, it isn't. There are certain industries that have to be nationalized. They have to be. And if they're not, this is just going to continue. It's never going to stop. Capitalism has reached that point. Global capitalism has reached that point where it there are very few markets left that they haven't exploited. There are very few masses of people that haven't been led into the slaughter yet. Oh, don't tell me about India and China. Oh, emerging. Blah, blah, blah. Look, it's a closed system to begin with. Capitalism demands cheaper labor always until it's free, until it's slavery. Then capitalism is happy, and even then it's not happy. It also demands expanding markets. If you don't have cheap labor and expanding markets, what have you got? So capitalism is dying. The problem here is that as it's in its death throes, it is ripping to pieces everything. The idea of self-government, the idea of everything, it's just smashing it into a million pieces. Hopes, dreams, plans, life. It's corrupting and polluting. No wonder these crazy sons of bitches all turn to fundamentalist religion. I mean, they're not getting any answers anyplace else. Might as well go to Spookville and get all kinds of, weirdness. The rapture's coming. Yeah, why? Because the earth is collapsing. Yeah, why? I don't know. Yes, you do. You just won't accept it. Yeah, why not rebuild from the ground up? That's a good idea. Let's start with a system that has the capability of surviving and helping us survive. Adapt or die. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. So